Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Epiphany radio program. This is Deacon Louis Zimlick here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo, and we have a special guest with us today, Bishop Bradley. Bishop Bradley, good to have you here.
Well, thanks, Deacon Louis. It's great to be back with you on this first Sunday of this beautiful month of October.
And so we're going to do the readings as we normally do, and then the bishop is going to have some comments on those readings and some of the things that are, you know, going on in the world, things about Pope Francis. And hopefully about every month we will do these with the bishop. And we also have Vicki Cessna with us. She's going to do one of the readings, our first reading today. And so we're going to go right into the readings for the 27th Sunday in Ordinary Time. So here we go with the readings. Vicki, go right ahead.
A reading from the book of Habakkuk. How long, O Lord? I cry for help, but you do not listen. I cry out to you, violence, but you do not intervene. Why do you let me see ruin? Why must I look at misery? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and clamorous discord. Then the Lord answered me and said, write down the vision clearly upon the tablets, so that one can read it readily. For the vision still has its time, presses on to fulfillment, and will not disappoint. If it delays, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not be late. The rash one has no integrity, but the just one, because of his faith, shall live.
Very good. The word of the Lord. So that's Habakkuk, and that is chapter 1, 2, 3, as well as chapter 2, 2 through 4, if you want to look that up later and meditate on that. And then we're going to go to our psalm reading for this weekend, which is Psalm 95. And that goes like this. And the responsorial for that is, if today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Come, let us sing joyfully to the Lord. Let us acclaim the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us joyfully sing psalms to him.
If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts.
Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord who made us, for he is our God. And we are the people he shepherds, the flock he guides.
If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts.
Oh, that today you would hear his voice. Harden not your hearts as at Meribah, as the day of Massa in the desert, where your fathers tempted me. They tested me, though they had seen my works.
If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts.
And then our second reading for today is 2 Timothy 1. That's 2 Timothy 1, 6 through 8, and 13 and 14. Beloved, I remind you to stir into flame the gift of God that you have through the imposition of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather of power and love and self-control. So do not be ashamed of your testimony to our Lord, nor of me, a prisoner for his sake. But bear your share of the hardship for the gospel with the strength that comes from God. Take as your norm the sound of words that you heard from me, in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Guard this rich trust with the help of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So a couple of beautiful readings there. One, of course, our Old Testament readings, and then the letter from Paul. And then we're going to comment on all the readings at the end here. And Bishop Bradley is going to read the gospel reading, which is Luke 17, 5 through 10. That's Luke 17, 5 through 10.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
This is a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your servant who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here immediately and take your place at table'? Would he not rather say to him, 'Prepare something for me to eat. Put on your apron and wait on me while I eat and drink. You may eat and drink when I am finished.' Is he grateful to that servant because he did what was commanded? So should it be with you. When you have done all you have been commanded, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have done what we were obliged to do.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So some beautiful readings there, Bishop.
They are gorgeous readings.
Yes.
On this beautiful October day. And as we think about this is a new season, of course, at least since the last time I was with you for this program at the beginning of September. We've moved into the fall season. We're in the midst of all of the many wonderful things that take place in the world around us. And, I think October is always a good month where people just, begin to think a little bit more, become a little more reflective. It's the beginning of the fall season, and we look at the beginning of changes that we might even notice in the world of nature around us. And it's a good time for reflection. I think these readings today, as we've just heard, call us to really think about what is that vision that Habakkuk talked about. What is the vision that the Lord has for us? When he looks to us, when our Lord God looks to us, what is his hope for us? What's the vision? And as the prophet was saying to the people, similarly, we have to have the right vision in mind so that we can go ahead and plan our day and live each and every day properly. But it's like going on a trip. Most of the time, if you're going to go on a trip, you kind of, first of all, think about, where am I going? That's the biggest question.
Absolutely.
Where am I going?
You bet.
And then what am I going to need to take with me in order to get there? Is it going to take a long time? Is it just a short trip? And what might I need to be thinking about that I'll have to consider between now and the final destination? I think that's what the prophet is saying to the people. We have to have the vision. Make sure, as he said in that beautiful reading, write down the vision clearly upon the tablet so that you can read it readily. The vision has its time, presses on to fulfillment, will not disappoint. If it delays, wait for it. It's that vision of that becomes our guideline, becomes our guideposts along the way. It becomes that map that we follow, always keeping clearly in mind where are we headed.
Yes.
And what is that all about? So I think it's, these October days are a wonderful time for us to be, thinking again about those deeper questions of life.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I think it's also, it's very interesting too, because like you're saying, Bishop, the looking inside of ourselves too, deeper questions of life too, right?
Yes.
And the catechism kind of leaves this open a little bit for us to really explore that on, what am I doing? What's my spiritual life like? And as we're heading towards, this distance, even though Christmas is a little ways off, start to think about that a little.
Sure.
Bit. Yeah.
Well, I think, probably by this time, I haven't noticed them yet, but I'm sure Christmas sales are going on already in the stores.
Yes.
And probably the decorations for us to buy and to make sure that we have them for our homes, it just always seems like Christmas comes a little bit earlier each and every year in terms of the preparation and,
yes.
and starting to think about that. But I think to your point, you know, thinking about what are those major events in our life that we need to be thinking about. And, you know, October is also a wonderful time for us to be thinking about as the church asks us to do each year in this month of October. It's the month that is typically designated as Respect for Life Month.
Yes.
And for us, from our vision of what God has revealed to us, all human life is precious
yes.
and sacred. From the very beginning of conception of life to the very end of the natural breath that we breathe in this world before we pass on into that final destination. So it's respect and dignity and the sacredness of all human life that we need to be thinking about in deeper, prayerful, loving ways, compassionate ways, concerned ways, as we see so many instances in the world in which we live that there seems to be less and less
yes.
of a respect for the dignity of human life.
Right.
As violence increases in our world, as violence between people seems to escalate out of whatever the motivating factor is, hatred or fear or whatever prompts that kind of behavior, you know, we seem to think nothing of hurting or
right.
or damaging or
yes.
killing even another human being. And that's just in the interactions. There's so many other ways that we see in the world around us that there's less and less of a respect for human life. And we really need to prayerfully reconsider that.
Amen. And how things would be different if, you know, we would pray more. Just a simple thing of just like praying more. Just a simple thing like reconciling with our neighbor or within our own families mm-hmm. or reconciling with the church or maybe some disappointment that we've had in anywhere in our lives of really trying to reconcile that. Mm-hmm. You know, the best we can.
Sure. Well, you know, I think to your point, reconciliation, if there's a need for reconciliation, there means there's been some kind of a rupture
yes.
in a relationship. And it can be a small one or it could be a big one that causes division within that family relationship or friendship or among our neighbors or in the community or between different political groups, whatever the divisions are. And how do we bring that about? How do we try to work to restore a sense of we're all in this together? We're
right.
not enemies of one another. And yet, oftentimes, that's the way we seem to treat one another.
Yeah, I think that's the easy way. It's kind of the easy way out is to judge another group or another group and say, there it is. That's it. But really, and including as we go through these readings, you know, the gospel's telling us, you know, we've got to look to Christ first. We've got
sure.
to look to Jesus Christ mm-hmm. first. And then we can make proper decisions and judgments on some
sure.
of these things.
Well, you know, I think one of the things that goes without saying, but we need to say it and we need to reflect upon it, is, you know, what we're talking about, to have a vision that gets us from you know where we are here until our final destination, which for those of us as people of faith, we pray is going to be with God forever in heaven. It's going to be forever someplace, and we pray that it's going to be forever with God in heaven. In order to be able to have that sense of vision, clearly we can only do that if we have faith.
Amen.
And so, you know, we pray always. I pray all the time for people who, for whatever reason, aren't able to live life from a faith perspective. You know, because it's our faith that enables us to be able to see more than what meets the eye, and it enables us to be able to see people for more than just an enemy or somebody that is against us for whatever reason.
Absolutely.
We see them through the eyes of God, and we see them as sisters and brothers in Jesus. And so it's from that faith perspective, which, of course, the gospel deals with directly. I think it's so beautiful. I love this, reading from the gospel, because the apostles, say to Jesus at the very beginning of that, increase our faith. It's kind of like, give me more, candy, or
right.
fill up my popcorn box. You know, it's as though faith is some kind of a commodity that is external to ourselves.
Right.
And really, as we know, faith is a gift that God gives to us that is nurtured and strengthened,
yes.
In a climate that enables us to be able to see things differently. But it really is that spiritual ability. And so that's why Jesus, I am pretty sure that's why Jesus responds to the apostles. It's not a matter of size. It's not a matter of how much,
mm-hmm.
Because even if your faith was the size of a teeny little mustard seed, you'd be able to accomplish incredible things. And so, it's the faith that we have. It's not the matter of the size of it. It's the quality of the faith that we have that gives us the ability to maintain that vision.
Absolutely.
That Habakkuk, continues to say we need to keep focused on, and gives us the ability to deal with those issues day in and day out along the way, along the journey of our faith life, to be able to deal with them in the way that God would want us to.
Awesome. Very nice, Bishop. In case you're just joining us, we're speaking with Bishop Paul Bradley, who is the Bishop of Kalamazoo, the Diocese of Kalamazoo. And we do this about once a month. We have the Bishop on when we can and talk about the readings for this week, and he comments on the readings. But in another way, too, if you're interested in more about the Catholic Church, or you're thinking about coming back, or you want to talk to somebody, you can go to the diocese website, which is diokzoo.org, and there's lots of links on there, people you can talk to, and there's a list of parishes as well. Or if you have any questions for anyone here down at the diocese, please contact us. This is an outreach for people who are away from the church, people who maybe you don't know anything about the church, maybe you don't know anything about Christianity. We're reaching out to you. So if you're looking for a sign, this is it. Also, if you're interested in listening to more things about the Catholic Church, there's 91.5 FM in Kalamazoo. There's 89.7 FM in the Battle Creek area. And sometimes that station comes in good also in the Kalamazoo area. And then AM 1140 in the Grand Rapids area. So we're going to return to listening to Bishop Bradley and some of his comments on the readings, and we're heading into 2 Timothy, which is really, like you were saying, Bishop, these are some great readings, especially for in regards to ordination and the priesthood. And you know a lot about that thing. You are a descendant of the apostolic faith, correct?
Well, sure.
Absolutely.
Yes. I mean, as a bishop, the bishop is a successor of the apostles.
Yes.
But, I think as you call us our attention back to this letter from St. Paul to Timothy, it's a beautiful one that obviously Paul is talking to Timothy as one that Paul ordained to go forth and be a priest to bring the gospel, and he refers to how he laid his hands upon him, upon the imposition of my hands,
mm-hmm.
And he's reminding Timothy that he needed to continue to stir into flame that gift of God that was given to you through the imposition of my hands. I think that's that is a beautiful attitude toward the gift of the priesthood that we've been given, and it's through that special gift in the laying on of hands of men who are called to be priests of Jesus in the world around us, to serve the needs of our church, to bring the gospel to them. It's, you know, I think the operative phrase there, though, that Paul was talking about is that I love the image of stirring into flame the gift. You know, because if we've ever tried to start a fire, I was never too successful at that around the campfire, where you have to either, you know, get the right amount of wind and air and everything so that the spark is able to catch and the fire begins to grow. You know, St. Paul is saying we need to stir it, we need to fan it, we need to nurture it so that it not only stays aflame, but it just can grow into a great fire. Well, you know, fire has always been an image of passion, and it's what it comes down to in terms of how much do we love God. You know, is our is our love for God just a kind of a little flickering flame, you know, that is barely on? It's kind of like the pilot light on your stove.
Sure.
It's got to be there or you're never going to be able to turn it on to actually cook anything. But is that the size or the quality of our love for God, just that little tiny flame? Don't we need to kind of stir it into something that is more... That really sets us on fire with love for God, and in turn gives us the ability to do what each of us is called to do. Not just priests. You know, priests have a particular responsibility and ministry that they've been asked to provide for the people, and it's an important one and it's an essential one. But each of us is called to have that flame of faith really stirred into a roaring fire.
Absolutely.
That can go forth and help us to be witnesses to the love of Christ in the world. And I think that's what we need to just keep reminding ourselves about. We and you know, the church belonging to our faith, coming to Mass, receiving the sacraments, learning more about your faith, really coming to a deeper understanding of what our faith is all about. Those are all ways to stir that little flame into a roaring fire.
Absolutely, really awesome. And I like the you know, as we move towards the gospel and speaking about the gospel, I like what you were saying, because of course Halloween coming up at the end of the month, you know, and all the candy, you know, everybody goes out and gets all the candy. And kind of being like children, how we can be, you know, we get this big bunch of candy, but that's not what Jesus is telling us in the scripture. He's kind of saying you need to learn this stuff slowly and earn your way through this and really build this faith, right?
Sure.
And then if you have it, you know, it's not something I can just give to you like a big bag of candy and all of a sudden you're, you know, the happiest guy and the most faithful guy in town. Doesn't always work that way. You got to work at it.
That's right.
Which is why we ask people to come to Mass.
That's right.
You know, to try to come to Mass, to try to pray.
Yeah, so we are talking about how we want that flame of faith to get large. So we kind of are using images of large and size and quantity. You know, but you know, as you're kind of leading us into the gospel, here, Deacon Louis, once again, we go back to that image where, you know, the apostles were approaching faith as though it was some kind of a commodity that Jesus could just simply give them more of.
Mm-hmm.
But faith comes from a personal relationship, of course, with Jesus. And so, you know, they didn't need anything more than what they already had. But they needed to be able to see who Jesus really was.
Right.
And that was part of the problem, of course, for the first apostles, for the early disciples. They saw Jesus. They knew who he was. He was, as far as they were concerned, at first, he was a wonderful human being, attractive person, an amazingly gifted teacher. But they began to realize there was more and more to this person. There was more and more to who he was, who he is. And when they finally were able to get to the point that they could see that he was truly God and man, that he was the Word of God made flesh, making his dwelling right there in their presence, that he was the one who had come to save the world. He was the one that, through his suffering, death, and resurrection, would change the course of human history for all time, from being, you know, headed to doom to being, you know, redeemed and available for redemption. They were able to have a completely different sense. That's what faith is.
Yes,
it's coming to know that Jesus is our Lord and our Savior. And once we understand that, once we know that, then that gift of faith enables us. I mean, that's what we keep trying to fan into a deeper flame, to let that faith be. Because we know that. What does that mean? That's revolutionary.
Right.
We should be living our life differently. Yes. And it's in the quality of that faith that leads us to the quantity of the actions of our lives.
That's awesome.
And, you know, so the quantities in the sense of acts of charity and kindness and positive contributions that we're making, you know, to the world around us, not just because we're humanitarians, but because we're Christians, because we're believers in Jesus, because we're fulfilling what God's plan for us is.
Awesome. Bishop, very wonderful. Wow, that's really good. We've got about a minute left, so could you just give us your blessing and maybe a few parting words?
Well, thank you, Deacon Louie. It's great, as always, to be here and to be with the listeners. And I just hope and pray that during this Respect for Life month that we can grow in a deeper faith of our Lord Jesus, a deeper love for God and for our fellow human beings, and to respect that human life that is entrusted into us as stewards. And so we ask the blessing upon all those who listen, and may they can come to that deeper faith and trust in Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop.